Oh, thank you, Rocky. And then I had text Louise if she could make it instead of Boyd. So at that, Kathy and Boyd said that they didn't want to come. So I mentioned to them that I don't consent to changing the meeting. We started this process about 10 days ago. So Boyd and Kathy aren't here, and I have this document. It's about, 28 pages or so. It'll go fast. But my hope today was to maybe turn this into a training, and Paul can lead us. We're, of course, building our Jural Assembly. And today, I think instead of being a discussion between Kathy and I, who I believe is incompetent for her position, and I have a lot of evidence that I feel supports that claim, that perhaps Paul can help us lead this discussion and keep it on a lawful track, and also that it's a training video, so any kind of interjection or information, Paul, that you can help with, please interject anytime.
Sure.
Stop us. So did you want to say a few words before we get started, Paul?
Sure.
We can hear you.
I don't know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here, so that would help me.
Uh-huh.
Goal? What is your end goal of this particular meeting? Of the agenda.
Denise?
Hear somebody just said something, but
Denise.
I don't hear Denise anymore.
Okay, Denise. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. I can hear you now. You kind of went off for a while there.
Okay, yeah. So, Paul, Kathy and I have had, she won't come to the table. I've tried to have discussions with Kathy, and what I have determined with her being on Nevada is she is the PKTF Assistant Executive Director. And what I have wanted to discuss with her for months now is that I feel that incongruent with her office, and that the PKTF, if they're on your state, they should be calling out the most basic situations and having some kind of, you know, public discourse on people who are not supporting a peaceable assembly. And for months I've been trying to discuss this with her, and they've cut off all communication to myself and Rocky. We are on Clark County in Nevada. Our state government, which is the State of the Union, State of the Union Nevada International Assembly, has timed out Rocky and I to the point where we're completely frozen out of everything, and they've tried to vilify, annihilate, and be sure that we have no voice in our government. So the PKTF, about a year and a half ago, which Louise can discuss in a minute, went around to the various states and saw that the assemblies were not building. And Louise had very expertly put together a strategy to get the assemblies up and going. She didn't have much luck with it. And so Clark County, as a model county, was able to help our county stand up, and we want to help all our counties stand up. So, Louise, if you want to go ahead and just describe a little bit about the process of Model County, and Paul is somewhat familiar, but not totally. Louise, if you're available.
Can you hear me?
Thank you, Louise.
Yes.
Yes.
So, let me describe how I came to be speaking to the model counties for my project. Actually, I came on board with the PKTF because of my project of getting the information out to America, basically, through a postcard campaign. So that's really how I started with my project. And the PKTF, when it comes to us serving on our assemblies, so this is our position as far as on our assemblies. When we are on our assemblies, we are actually a national, meaning we don't hold an office on our assemblies. We have an officer called the PKTF liaison who does serve on the assembly in that office in the militia pillar. But like me as the affiliate director, I have no position on my Illinois assembly as the affiliate director. So neither would our executive director, neither would our assistant director. We have no position on our assemblies. So if I'm on my assembly and I see something, I have to do something in my national capacity. So as far, and now to move on to how the model counties came into play, I developed my project with the state assemblies in mind to offer it to the state assemblies to execute if they wished. It's a voluntary, everything's around here voluntary, but we have no, like the PKTF, we have no authority over the assemblies. So we create projects or create services for their benefit, and they can take advantage of it or not. So the state assemblies, there's very few of them, maybe two of them have confirmed that they were going to do the project. But I asked Anna if I could move to the counties to help the United States get constructed. And she said yes. So that's how I got involved with the counties. I started asking the counties, do you all want to do the project? And specific ones of them, on each state, I'm looking for a county on each state to spearhead the project. So Clark County, Nevada, was actually one of them. Actually, Denise came to me and said, hey, I want to be part of the Model County Project. And I said, well, sure, just ask your county if they want to be involved, take a vote, and have your coordinator contact me. And so she did. And that's how they became the model county for Nevada. Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for that description, Louise. And I do. Paul, go ahead.
So the model county is ideally a testing ground and a template. And after it's tested, then the template would be offered to the other counties to mimic?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the goal. So we had three options to select from, and we took option three, yes. Mm-hmm. We in Nevada have the assistant executive director from PKTF on our state. And we've had probably a ground zero for, corruption by our State of the Union Assembly. And just to clarify, there's the State of the Union Assembly that works with the Federation and is only supposed to be dealing in an international jurisdiction and land and sea issues. That's their jurisdiction. But what has happened is a number of the people in that organization, and there's about six or eight of them that are kind of like a core club group, and they have taken it upon themselves to make sure that they have this, they weaponize the meetings, silos, any governmental process, guidelines, process, procedure, to be sure that only their agenda is getting done, which means nothing's getting done, because we don't have our state stood up. We don't. They keep saying we have our pillars stood up, but we don't. So our model county has, on April 19th, took it upon ourselves to start down this journey, but we're not getting support even from the PKTF assistant executive director who's on our state. She's in my opinion, has been kind of working against us. And so this presentation today is kind of pointing out some of the infrastructure issues we're having. And then also just, I wanted to ask her what she thought about it, because she works for the PKTF. So it would stand to reason that she would be trying to assist us with this. So that's the goal today.
And what role will the PKTF...
So do you mind if I get started?
I don't even know what that acronym stands for.
PKTF?
What... Yeah.
Peacekeeping Task Force. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then what is the role, the primary role, first roles that KTF will strive to accomplish?
Well, I think Louise, she is the affiliate director at PKTF, and she handles the Metal County. I think that she would be best to answer that question for you. Louise, if you wouldn't mind answering Paul's question that he just asked.
Yes.
Louise?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Paul?
Yeah.
Ask me that question again.
Is the PKTF the primary goal at this time? Is it to establish harmony between the counties?
Yes. It's not the primary goal, though. It's one of our goals. So, go ahead.
One of the goals, yeah. What's the top three goals, then?
Say that again.
In your opinion. What is the top three goals, in your opinion, then?
So, we have... We have two different sides to our organization. The Peacekeeping Task Force has a company side and a management side. I handle the management side, so I can answer what my top three goals is for my management side. And my top three goals is to get our government recognized in the American public and to our de facto employees as the American government. That's one of my primary goal. My second goal is to get this crime stopped with the usurpation that's happening across the country against the American people, trafficking them into the sea with those birth certificate registrations. So to get that stopped, that's my second goal. My third goal, My third goal would be to get the states and the counties, which is the United States of America and the United States, in proper reconstruction as far as how they govern.
Okay. Pretty lofty goal there, but go ahead.
Those are my top three goals.
Okay, I got a feel for it then. Go ahead, Denise.
Okay, good. All right, Paul, well, thank you. So I'll just kind of dive in. I don't know if, Rocky, if you're able to increase the magnification of this presentation so it's actually a little bit more readable, if you wouldn't mind, but I'll start. On our state, our state leadership, sadly, we're not allowed to have federal government employees in leadership positions. And our leadership works for the fire department. Now, as a husband and wife team, he's the firefighter and manager of a volunteer fire department. And then his wife is the dependent. So right there is a conflict of interest. Now, if you are an active federal government employee, you can join the assembly. You just can't take positions of authority. So it continues to be a conflict. and they work for the district. This has been, you know, known. We have evidence to prove it. But one of the issues in our government is that this Bivens decision, which you have to read three times, is never read at the meetings. So the Bivens decision is basically, if anybody is here involved with a federal government, state, city, district, that they cannot participate in the meeting because we're the American government, not the federal government, not the district. And they never read the Bivens correctly. In our state, and I believe Kathy has been present for these types of meetings where the Bivens is not read correctly, then the leadership is calling themselves a real assembly, and they have labeled us a district assembly. They're also using a lot of slander and lies. Since Rocky and I can't go to any of the meetings because we're locked out of the meetings, we're frozen out, we're having this issue where whatever they say just becomes fact because we can never rebut the facts. Rocky, can you... Oh, yeah, there's the Bivens decision right there. This meeting is private, bearing false witness, misrepresentation, and posting inflammatory rhetoric in public forums is forbidden and shall be addressed in an appropriate manner. To eliminate all conflict and false allegations, is there anyone in attendance at today's meeting that is a member or agent of any law enforcement or public agency of federal, state, county, city, or township agencies present? Is there a response to the Bivens decision? And then it says, anyone who is working for any foreign governments, including territorial or municipal, they have to disclose their presence. Well, when you read this, you read the top part twice, and then the third time you read it all the way through. Well, they never, because it's a notice at that point. Well, our leadership does not properly read it at the beginning of the general meetings. So that's an issue. Kathy attends these meetings, and she also has cause to be able to review the meetings because she receives links to the meetings, but she never says anything about it. And this last meeting in the slide here, Rocky, if you could go down a little bit. In this slide here, it's basically saying that currently, thanks to gossip and slander by Denise Meraz and her accomplices, we are not getting our banking funds. Well, all of these things are false information. They're trespass and false witness because that's not the truth. The reason we are not getting public trust funds is there was a handful of coordinators, our current leadership, and they did not respond to the bank for 4 months. And I discovered this, exposed it, and this is one of the issues that we're having. So my question for Kathy was, did Kathy attend this particular meeting, and does she know how to read the Bivens decision? Also, does she realize that it is very detrimental to call us a district assembly when Clark County is not a district assembly? There is a particular, well, there's many articles on the AnnaVonWrights.com website that talk about district assembly. What's a district assembly? It's one that's being run by federal government employees, either municipal or territorial. So in this particular case in Nevada, we have our leadership who are district assembly, naming us a district assembly and calling themselves a real assembly. So it's undermining the ASN. Let's skip down to the next number two, the alleged bribery. Yes?
I want to say something about the banking thing you had here. Process of what happened was is Global Bank sent out five different letters to Sue and different other coordinators. The coordinators did not respond to all five of those letters. And Denise happened to call them the day, kind of like the day before they were going to cut all the coordinators off. And that's how Denise found out about it. And then Denise then gave them more information about what the coordinators were doing stuff. And that's when Global Bank cut them completely off. So they were going to get cut off anyway. Had nothing to do with what Denise did. Okay. Are you over that? I'm going to go on to the next question.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you. Yeah, so number two. So honor some.
Denise, we can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now again.
Denise,
now?
Denise, you are, just be aware of, you are cutting in and cutting out. You are cutting in and cutting out at times, just FYI.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Just keep going.
Okay. Sorry about that. You know, I can move my Wi-Fi. Let me just move my computer closer to my Wi-Fi headset. That'll be the easiest thing I can do. Hold on one moment, please. And thank you for your patience. After 6 o'clock, everybody's on their Wi-Fi in my neighborhood, and it can get a little crowded on the airwaves. Okay, is that better, everybody?
So far, so good.
Can you hear me better now? Okay, good. All righty. So, Rocky, can you get on to the next page number two, please? So, page number two, I received an email the night before vote. So, our coordinator, Sue Halsbus, had put out a slander letter on January 31st with 100% false statements about me, Rocky, and our situation on Nevada. Well, this then that was January 31st, and then the next week in February, there was 3 days of activity. We had a pair of people who were kind of, I'll call it in the state club, come on our county assembly and try to pass a vote to pause and stop our county assembly. They were unanimously voted out. So then the next day there was a discussion, and that discussion tape got erased. The third day was the 6th. And on the 6th, the leadership put out a motion with these same two people, same motion basically, slightly changed, to basically stop Rocky and I from providing leadership to our county. And the night before the vote, I received this email, and the leadership had asked me for money a couple times, but we're all volunteer here. And then she said that if I don't start paying her, she would not be assisting me. And so I wasn't really asking for any assistance, but essentially they were trying to set it up so that, you know, there was payments. I don't know. Paul, do you have anything to say about something like that? I mean, I can't call it extortion, but, you know, is bribery a appropriate term for a volunteer coordinator to be using their office to take money from volunteers like myself? Paul, can you hear me okay? Paul, are you still there?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, okay, alrighty. Yep. So I wanted your opinion on this, you know, role of the coordinator demanding that I pay her for a volunteer position.
I wouldn't pay for a volunteer position ever. Is she getting paid for her position? Is there an office that votes people have to pay for positions?
No. We're all volunteer.
Yeah. So until the elected officers have a vote by majority, I don't think anything can really be established like that.
Mm-hmm. So if there's no vote for that, and you have a leadership person asking for to be paid to do a volunteer role, or you know, assist an ASN, what would I put on a? Should I fill out a criminal incident report? What would it say?
She's personally asking for payment for her services.
Yes. In this email the night before they were going to vote Rocky and I off the assembly, she demanded a payment. So it says, for one thing, and I'll just interject here, I never sent her any nasty emails. She says, demands and deadlines shouldn't be a common occurrence. Until she, Denise, starts paying me, she doesn't get to act like my boss or owner. And I was kind of shocked by that. But the next day, that assembly took a vote in a double negative vote and voted me off the assembly into like a permanent timeout, which you cannot do. It's not allowed or legal or lawful. And it was also done in the format of a double negative vote so that if you just thought you could vote yes or no, it was me or Rocky. And if you decided that you were going to vote yes and no on every issue, it was set up so that virtually no one knew what was going on. And then she didn't show us the ballots. So she agreed to an audit, but then never happened.
How do funds come into the organization?
How do funds come into the organization? So we have
account built up.
Donations.
Okay. And what name do they come under? Is there an account opposed to one specific name?
Oh, yes. There's two accounts. One is for our county and one is for our state.
Okay. And how many people oversee the accounting of that?
Well, that's another problem we're having is that we voted in a treasurer, Michelle Schmidt, and the state removed the treasurer, and they harassed this widow to the point of tears where she gave them the money for the state. So now they have control of the money, and, you know, and they took it away from the treasurer.
She was already the treasurer before that as well.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's pretty dangerous to put any one person in control of any money. Just about good. I don't know. It just sounds like a mess from many people.
Yeah. It is definitely a mess. Okay, so let's just move on to the double negative vote. That's on page 3. That was my next question for Kathy is, did she attend that meeting or did she know about it? Next 3, the double negative vote. So that state meeting recording for February 3rd and February 5th have been erased by the leadership. And, we can't even recreate what happened there for our purposes. And then, you know, I knew that I was going to be voted against for no good reason based on a fraud letter put out. So I guess if you saw meetings being erased and you were just an ASN, and then you were training other PKTF people for peaceable assembly and peacekeeping task force activities. My question there for Kathy is that does she know that the meetings are being erased and what does she think about it? So And would Paul, would you have anything to say about leadership erasing the records of a state assembly?
Well, you can't call yourself a transparent group if you're erasing records. Sometimes the records are erased to protect somebody from a rape or an incest situation, but I don't know why anybody would ever erase a record for any other reason other than, you know, to protect somebody's something extremely personal. If it's an organization, yeah, so, associated meeting, it should never be erased.
Exactly. Okay. We can move to page. Yes?
Let me add to the situation on meetings being erased and gone, whatever. I created a file server so that none of our records, you know, because one of the complaints that they were having was that they didn't have room on the cloud, or it cost too much money to actually keep the records there. And that's the reason why they were saying some of the records they had to take off because they didn't have the room. So I created a file server to house all of those records. It's still up and running today. We do use it for the state and county that I actually, you know, do all the meetings for. They've had access to it to put them on there. They chose not to because they feel that I'm not a reliable person for them to keep the records on a file server. I actually paid for that file server out of my own pocket. It has most of the meetings up to 2023, that whatever they put on it at the time, but all the new meetings that Denise is talking about, they elect not to put on there and they elect not to keep them. So whatever that is, I don't know. And when they do the meetings, there's no way for anybody to download them. But I have a mechanism where after that started happening, I record every meeting on my own. And Louise could vouch for that because I've copied a lot for her. But I'm in the impression that we should never, ever delete any meetings or any records that goes along with assembly. So anyway, I yield to that.
Thanks, Rocky. And to add to that, you know, Kathy's an ASN on Nevada, so I wanted to ask her, how does she feel about her government erasing all the records of the state? Because she's, you know, participates on the state assembly. Okay. Paul, do you have anything else to add to that?
I don't know the government structure of the organization, but it sounds pretty it's going in the wrong direction in a big way.
It definitely is. Okay, we can move down to page 4. Page 4 is a public forum chat log that we receive. There's coordinator calls that are 50 state assembly-wide every Thursday night, and Kathy elected in her free speech capacity as an ASN to go on to this public forum chat log, and this was a chat log image that she gave to our Nevada leadership, and she works with them on it. And what they did is they used this slide in a meeting in April. And they claimed that we were attacking them. However, the slide, as you can see, is bare at the top and the bottom. So I wanted to ask Kathy, when she gave her chat log image to Doug and Sue, who then used this in a meeting, did she erase the top and bottom comments, or did Doug or Sue before they put it in the meeting? Because as you can see from the chat log, they erase important information in the fact that the coordinator and MAA, Marshal at Arms, are dual citizens. They're federal government employees, and they erased one other comment. So that's all I have to say about that. And I was going to ask her, when did those two comments disappear off the chat log? Because obviously, if you did follow that slide and that evidence, you would be confused as to why it doesn't match the, you know, I'll call it the digital chat log. So there's like a visual chat log and a digital chat log. The other thing about this chat log is she writes in the middle, it's under you. So this came from her. She said, they are good people, most definitely. So I guess I was going to ask her, why does she feel that these people are nice? Did she give these records to Doug for their repurposing at a state meeting where we were slandered and maligned? And then in the next slide, why isn't she seeing something and saying something? Why instead is she working with the state leadership to have this outcome? And then, Rocky, if you wouldn't mind going to the next slide on page 6.
Let me add a little bit.
Yes.
Let me add a little bit more to this here. This slide that you see that looks like a graph or whatever, you know, looks like screenshots. There was another meeting that Sue and Doug and them had after that, and Kathy made a comment that Rocky's coming after me because when I gave him this slide, that he says that I forged it. So she admitted to actually giving this document here to Sue and Doug, to me, which as a PKTF liaison or anything like that, they're not supposed to interfere with the assembly business, and that's what I consider interfering. Anyway, I'm going to go on to the next one.
Okay, yeah, so if you could go down to that next, the next one after that, so page 6. So in this screen capture, Kathy does express her opinion, which she is completely entitled to, that she felt that Rocky was rude because he stated in the previous chat log that they are married and that they are federal government employees. And I wanted to ask her why she thinks that he was rude when he was telling the truth, and that doesn't she see that they're trying to control everything? And below that, I wanted to find out why she makes this comment, I have no idea what you mean that we should fix the problem. She said, this is not an issue to be solved by one person. Well, in our American government, we are each sovereign. So it is possible and true. Actually, it would even be, in my opinion, the PKTF Assistant Executive Director should be somewhat of an example of standing up on see something, say something. So I guess her confusion about how one person can begin a solution to these problems is something that I wanted to ask her. And that's all I have on that.
I'm going to add something.
Yes.
In this discussion where you see where she said I was rude to talk about the coordinator and the martial arms, at no time I ever said anybody's name. Somebody asked me a question about why don't you just get another coordinator, and I made a comment that we were being blocked by the coordinator. That's all I said. And then they said, why don't you then go to the martial arms? Then I said, they are married. That's all I said. Never gave no names, never said who I was talking about. Just that I made truthful statements that the coordinator was blocking us and the martial arms was married to the coordinator. I yield to that.
Thank you, Rocky. And I'll add to that.
If I can.
Yes, please, Kat.
And also, just to be in contact with that, as far as you and Janice being blocked, my wife is not. So she's the one that's been letting us know about these new meetings and going on. And
yeah, easier going in and out.
So I'll just interject real quick, Paul. Keith Love is our sheriff on Clark County, so it's very important that he has access to, you know, what's going on in the assembly, not just at the county level, but the state level, but he is also blocked now.
Yeah, so my wife is the one that's actually seeing these meeting invites and what have you. They obviously don't realize that my wife is, you know, my wife. And so she says, you know, lets me know, hey, honey, they're doing these meetings again. And they're constantly talking about a district assembly. And I, you know, with all the evidence that's been already mentioned as far as Anna's articles, Anna did confirm again that us being ASNs, we're all ASNs or ASCs, we are not a district assembly, and yet they still continue to call us a district assembly to divide. And it's we've asked them, please stop saying that we're not a district assembly. So anyhow, I yield. Thank you.
And I will add to this slide, although I didn't take a picture, at the time this was all occurring, because I was not invited to this meeting, Rocky called me, and we were doing what we're doing now, a conference call. He was showing me his screen, what was going on, and I was taking screen captures. And I did not get a chance to get the screen capture right, I think it was right before this or right after, but I will testify to the fact that Kathy wrote, Rocky, if you step down, all this will go away. And I didn't know, Rocky, if you wanted to give testimony to that or not.
Yeah, she said that to me. She said that if I would just go away, everything would go away. And to me, that was basically an attack on me from her, which I didn't really appreciate, but it didn't make any sense. To me, I didn't care. It's not going to make me go away because I'm not going away ever. And even when we talk about the district assembly, Louise at one time asked Anna if we were a district assembly, and when Louise got back, said that was nonsense, that we was not that. I don't know if Louise wants to say anything about it, but that was one of her things that she got from Anna.
Yeah, please, Louise, if you could interject here, that would be great.
Yes, I can bring up her text message to me. Let me see. Okay, right here.
Switch it over so you could share.
Oh, it's on my phone.
Okay.
I was going to read it off my phone.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Give me a moment. Okay, here. It said, another issue. I was just forwarded an email from Jill Horsley, the Oversight Committee Chair for the Nevada Assembly, where she states that, quote, Anna's final recourse for Rocky and Denise is to return their paperwork with the seals and dates and numbers crossed out and cross their names off the assembly list, unquote. The Oversight Committee has taken actions based on Terry's finding that Clark County is a district assembly. Can you please tell me the status of Denise and Rocky in the Clark County Assembly? So that was my question to Anna. Her answer is, nonsense. How are they a district assembly? Nevada needs to get together. That's the end of what she said.
Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Denise? How many independent counties are considered in Nevada? Is it one county, or is it 100 different counties, or what?
But you have, say we're in Clark County, and then there's Nye County, there's Carson City, there's different counties in a state. So, you know, you got one in Reno area, So every area, I think we got 25 counties in Nevada.
Okay, you're using the same geographical boundaries as the state of Nevada does for a county?
Yes. Yes, we do.
We have 17 counties.
Okay.
So basically each county kind of watches its own, keeps order in their own backyard, which is a good thing. Okay, go ahead.
Correct. However, the state has made sure that they basically are siphoning off people. So what has occurred is they have a kind of a funnel. The people come in through a website. They give them to their preferred recording secretary. I discovered that this particular preferred recording secretary was charging $333 for one person and $666 for two people, and then that money was going into the state coffers. He also was giving advice when he was assisting people papering up, but that service is only supposed to cost about $75. But that's how they have been denying people the right to a Republican form of government since these new people don't know any better. They just think that there's only one assembly at the state level, and they're never told that there's actually a county assembly, too. And we're signing up the most people because we're the most populated county. The other 16 counties, so about five of them have no people, a couple of them have two people, and then the rest have between 15 and 30 people on them. So.
Okay. How much has Nevada brought in total money, approximately?
We don't know.
All the funds.
We have about $7,096 in our treasury at the moment, and it's gold, silver, and some cash. I know Rocky has contributed roughly close to $40,000 to assist the assembly. I've contributed thousands, and our former coordinator, Craig, who passed away on January 22nd, he had contributed $27,000. Plus, with hours, Craig told me he had contributed around 35,000 hours total in 4 years. I've contributed probably 60 hours a week. Rocky, he works full-time, and he's contributed. Also, Keith is a major contributor of hours.
You're talking about the state of Nevada, not an individual county.
The State of the Union, Nevada, is our international assembly that is tied to the Federation, but the counties form the Union State Nation, and that is 17 counties forming in a perfect union to then bring up the delegates and the electors that will eventually go to the Continental Congress. So there's that chain of people from people, towns, counties, to the Union State, to the Continental Congress, and delegates, electors. Then on the left-hand side of that is the business of the state dealing with county to county, day to day, plus the connection to the Federation, which is international.
Okay.
Okay, so the next five slides, we can just kind of flip through these. Basically, we try to take matters into our hands as best we could. And on March 30th, we took a no-confidence vote. We had taken a no-confidence vote the month before. We had no course correction from our leadership, and then that day we voted them out. That day also, we had I had forgiven them. I told all the trespassers against me that I completely forgive them, that they know who they are. And I was hoping that that would calm things down so that our state could build. But instead, it continued to escalate to a nuclear political war, if I say that.
Yes,
I don't know.
Denise, yes. If I may, you of course weren't the only one that reached out to them several times to try to do an olive branch and let them know there's not that many of us, you know, that we need to work together. So we have definitely reached out in love and forgiveness and whatever would be needed to open dialogue directly and have it be, you know, peaceful and to work together. And they just refuse to have anything to do with us whatsoever and continue to try to divide. So I just wanted to chime in and say, you know, we have reached out to them. I take that very personally to repair things and try to be, but this has just gotten out of hand. So I yield.
Thanks, Keith. Rocky, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, Luis kind of knows part of this. Probably about 3 weeks ago, Anna did make me a state coordinator. And through that letter, it stated that me and Sue need to get together and work things out. I sent a letter, you know, an email, basically back to, basically had Anna on it and Sue on it, asking Sue, basically, let's work this out and let's get together and whatever and try to, you know, fix the problems that we have. To this day, I have not got any correspondence from Sue.
We also had the state funds with Michelle Schmidt and trying to make Sue happy with whatever she needed through an arbitrator, Ombudsman. She requested that we release those state funds, or that that Michelle would release those funds to a person that she wanted to have received the state funds, and we said, we voted on it and said, okay, if this will help you stop, you know, being so aggressive against us and work together, we'll do that. We did that, and it's still continuing, so I yield.
Thanks, Keith. Can you flip down to slide 12 now, please, Rocky? So I wanted to ask Kathy if she's had any, you know, I guess knowledge of the vetting situation on Nevada and what she thinks about it, and how does she think that we'll be able to grow our state if we don't allow people who are already vetted, like Rocky, he got vetted in 2022, and that we continue to blockade all the vetting, and the vetting is being blocked a couple different ways. I also wanted to find her opinion if she thought that the falsely creating vetting arrangements was a competent coordinator activity, in her opinion, because, again, she lives on our state, so I would value her opinion on this. So number 7, this just kind of goes over what I already mentioned, and here is the evidence on Doug. He actually changed his LinkedIn profile to claim that he is just a volunteer firefighter, but he is really the station manager of the Red Rock Fire Department, and therefore he is a federal government employee, even though he claims he gets no benefit. I don't know why you would want to volunteer your time for the federal government if you have no benefit, but obviously he thinks it's, so you know, a good idea for him, so he's allowed to spend his time any way he wants. But the issue is is that they can't serve on the assembly. Also, there are a lot of articles from Anna about, you know, creating these silos, and in the organization chart, Doug is on 5 committees. He runs every meeting. He does not want to share running of the meetings and then make sure that we can't get in, that we're waiting in the chat room, et cetera, or the waiting room, we can never get in. Sue was also on 5 committees, and they're both on the same committee and run everything. Paul, do you have anything to add on that slide?
No, I don't.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to...
I think the main goal... The real foundation here is the individual counties.
It is.
I don't think the foundation has to worry about the state level all that much. Just take care of the garden the best you can, close to home, and accomplish good things there. And as it develops well, it'll become attractive to other people looking in, and they'll duplicate it. It almost appears to me like you have a coup going on in the state level. And that's not unusual. You know, the states always try to take control of the counties and the cities and the, you know, whatever. So, but the small group of people, they have to stand strong. They are the legs that touch the ground. Go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate that. Page 15, Rocky, and I'm going to just try to go through the rest of these as quick as possible. On page 15, I've got here the standing oversight committees, and I think Louise would best speak to this. She had reached out to the oversight committee and mentioned for page 15 and 16 and that they have a jurisdictional aspect only of international, not national. And Louise, did you want to make a comment on that? They're not supposed to be railroading us. They're supposed to be railroading de facto. So this here basically talks about a Terry Soms, you know, video that she's claiming that we're district assembly, and of course all of that is false accusations. Go ahead, Louise.
So who reached out to the Oversight Committee?
I was asking, did you ever reach out to the Oversight Committee about their jurisdiction confusion?
In Nevada?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. If you were to, you know, help Kathy understand how this all works, would you think that it would be, like, in accordance with the prudent man rule,
so
that maybe since she lives on the state, to say something about this kind of activity?
So the oversight committees, like the Nevada Assembly Oversight Committee, I see down there. So Nevada Assembly would have an oversight, or should have an oversight committee, who oversees and accepts complaints or you know, request for oversight over the conduct of the people in the assembly. The Nevada Assembly would have their own, and then Clark County Assembly would have their own oversight committee, who would look over the conduct of those assembly members on the county. So each one of them would have their separate oversight committees.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's just something I wanted to ask Kathy, is does she understand what's going on here, and does she realize that her state is, you know, kind of overstepping their jurisdiction? So if you can go to page 17, if you would, we do have the de facto running our state, and they are all retired, you know, FedGov employees, retired, employed, or volunteer. And that is actually what is called a district assembly. Rocky, you mentioned that you have a video clip from Jill stating that she does work for de facto.
What happened is, in their last meeting last Wednesday, if you really listen to, I made a copy of the video, but she makes a comment that her friends in the state, something, whatever, that she works for, which is the way that she says it implements her as still working for the de facto government and being the oversight committee.
Yeah, and she's the committee chair, and again, can't hold a position. So there's that. The other thing I wanted to bring up with Jill is that she's a recording secretary, so in Anna Von Reitz's Cut to the Chase article, she says, anyone occupies a position as RECSEC, they'd better do a good job in good faith and not bungle things up on purpose. Well, Jill Horsley recorded and targeted Christian believers incorrectly. And how that worked was a husband and wife came in, and they wanted to bring in like 25 other young families. They run a Christian homeschool, preschool, and elementary program. That's how I met them, through the American Way Homeschool that we launched in April. Well, Rocky, I know you can speak to this better than me, but can you talk a little bit about how Jill Horsley had recorded these people, and then they were thought that they were ASNs, but actually for the last 3 years they have not been?
Well, in actual, they are still ASNs because they do have their paperwork. They just don't have them recorded anywhere. We went through a time when we had a system called the LRS, is where we recorded everybody. When the de facto took it over, and basically we couldn't get into more, the Federation created the LRO, and all the coordinators and the recording secretaries were supposed to move everybody over into the LRO. Well, Jill and the rest of them up in the North End did not do that for these people. But also when she recorded Ashley and her husband, she put them in one LRO account and not two different ones. So she wasn't even recording people right, even when they put her in the old one. So, and we found several other people that she did the same thing, where she wasn't recording people as individuals in the LRO like she was supposed to.
Thanks, Rocky. Also building on that comment for Jill, I wanted to just ask Kathy how she felt knowing that the people that she thinks are really nice actually moved here from California, and they were supposed to stay on our state a year before getting vetted for an ASC position. However, from their vetting papers, we see that they moved here in July 2021 and recorded then. And then in November 2021, just 4 months later, Jill had signed all their paperwork to become ASC. But the rule is you have to be here a year. So I just wanted to know how Kathy would view those documents. So if we can move to 19, please.
Page 19?
Page 19. Here's just another thing that I found very interesting. And Paul, I really wanted your opinion on this. We have found out on April 2nd of a meeting that was erased that I listened to, Stu stated that there is what she is calling the Office of Anna. So what she is saying is that Anna Marie is a pen name used for some communication from the Office of Anna. And so I was wondering, who is the Office of Anna? And then I see that on this particular slide on March 20th, a letter being allegedly written by Anna Marie was sent to Needy in North Carolina about a district assembly. Well, during this time frame, and this slide bridges two pages, 19 and 20, Louise was already working full steam with Anna to start Model County and grow it. So I don't know, Louise, if you wanted to just kind of interject here on, you know, that track, and also perhaps add anything else that you think would be, you know, a good testimony on these slides, because I know that this letter is talking about a district assembly, and basically what we're finding is that it appears that somebody from the, quote, Office of Anna had started and is maintaining a propaganda campaign calling regular assemblies district assembly. Louise, if you could.
Okay. So I don't know much about the Office of Anna. I've really never heard of that till now. far as the district assembly goes, there's no, I do hear the district assembly label given to county assemblies in the Model County when I talk to the Model Counties. So when I hear somebody call one of the counties, just any county, a district assembly, I would have to go to Anna and ask Anna, why is this county a district assembly? What is it that's causing them to be a district assembly, and what is it that they need to fix for it to not be a district assembly? And her response, I asked her for Clark County, which I just read to you, that comment she got, that she sent to me. The second comment was for Marion County. I got the message that they were a district assembly, so I had to ask her on them, why is they called a district assembly? As a matter of fact, what it was with them, their coordinators said that the Federation had dissolved the Marion County Assembly because it was a district assembly. So I had to ask Anna, what happened to Marion County, and did the Federation dissolve it? She said no. She didn't dissolve Marion County. The Federation didn't take any action against Marion County. So as far as district assembly go, I don't think people who's using the word know what it is, or they're using it just to serve a purpose of negating the actions of the county or the authority of the county, and using Anna as their support or force enforcement arm. And every time I ask Anna, did she do something like this, she would say, no, she didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. So building on that, Louise, when I read this, it obviously states, it says that doesn't mean any new assembly exists or that the non-participants are authorized to create a new assembly. Well, this whole letter is... also, by our state coordinator, I thought at first it was from Anna, and then that she materially changed the letter to add her own name into it, which she asterisked at the bottom. But I don't know. Paul, do you have any thoughts about people writing things as Anna and how that might undermine ASN, because they don't really know all of the details behind the situation?
Is there a question there?
Yes. So my question was, is as far as like a common law thought, you know, there we have these coordinators that are confusing the ASN, and we cannot prove that this letter came from Anna Marie Reisinger, or Anna von Reitz, her pen name. So I just wanted to know if you have any thoughts about paperwork coming out of the office of Anna that she may have not written, and it was actually full of false information.
You have the right to send her a copy of it and say, is this in whole or in part your creation? Is that your, do you agree with the document? Signature means document. Is that your autograph on the document?
Mm-hmm.
Act as a signature and see what comes from them.
Okay.
She'd have to be the complaining party. There's no law about it. There's just a common practice. Just like you walk up to your neighbor, did you tell Bill that I stole your lawnmower last night? I don't really understand where something like that could have started, but I'm just here giving everybody a benefit of a doubt and trying to figure this out. Nothing wrong with that.
So what you're saying, what I'm hearing you say, is that if somebody writes a letter representing Anna's views and she didn't write it, but that they promote it as her views, that you feel that there's no harm done there?
No, I'm saying that if let's just say that she did not sign it, but she agrees with it. I mean, there's not really a whole lot you can do. But if she did not sign it and also does not agree with it, there's something mischief involved there. And that's not mm-hmm. that's not good. And there should be an order put out that no one at this stage is to sign a document for anybody else or make it appear that it was signed by somebody else or agreed to by somebody else with their at least their agreement to the document authenticated through email.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a record of it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
if you're sending money to an organization and they're misusing those funds, in your opinion, you can always go into a common law court and the people, the superior court, the people can actually make a determination that, hey, those funds were designated for this use and they were not used for that use. We make a determination those funds be sent back to the original party. That would be a legitimate act of the sovereigns of the land. And the U.S. court cannot get involved with that. And the only way they can overturn that judgment is through another common law proceeding. And they certainly have an opportunity to bring it in to, if they have something that was defaulted against them, and they realize now that it's wrong, they have an opportunity to correct it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for that. So that's an avenue that we can pursue.
Yeah, just remember the people are the highest, the sovereign, they're truly the sovereigns. Of course, they're under God, and that means a lot, but they have the highest court ability in the land. Nobody's above them. Of course, God is always above them, but we are instructed to follow God in all our ways. Go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. So this was, though, if we do consider this a potential breach, this was probably not the first time that there was a security breach of the Federation, and one such breach involved a recording secretary bending the rules. In page 21, I do have some information here about a previous breach in Texas, and in that breach, one of the hallmarks was that they were refusing to record the political status of members. And we have that call on our assembly where they are recording them wrongly. They are evading recording people. And then additionally, we have a Federation recording secretary, Michelle Schmidt, and her ability to record international, like we're in Nevada, she has an application for Hawaii. She can do that because she's a Federation recording secretary, except that they have cut off her LRO. So that's one of the usurpation hallmarks. And, you know, that's just something that I saw. I did want to ask you, what about, a lawful, you know, a framework to have more of a lawful discussion around that, because obviously ANA wants 8 billion people on the land, on the soil, right? So we've got people actually working against us, but it is a hallmark of a usurpation. Do you have any thoughts on that, Paul?
Well, make sure you encourage the education of each individual county. You know, the strength is in the individual, and they're consolidated to a degree in the county. And they need to realize that they have a sovereign standing in that small little footprint. And they don't have to yield to any greater sovereign than that group. And they should use that to their advantage, because the small footprints are what's going to fund the head eventually, and it should be no other way. Otherwise, you don't have a republic form of government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, in this article, and this was around 2022, James Clinton Belcher, our head of state of the United States of America, wrote, "We have recently suffered a security breach in an attempt to undermine and commandeer the CM service, as well as to redefine the clearly stated functions of the PKTF." We believe that this has happened recently on June 8th, and Louise can speak to that. She was the person who had sent out an email, and it was a request for collaboration with a PowerPoint on it, and about, I don't know, so many hours after it hit the email waves, she received an email that seemed like it was way out of character for her approval to work on these programs. Louise, can you talk about that when you suspected a security breach?
So, yes, so I sent out a request for collaboration email to 33 people. The people were Anna, Model County coordinators, international podcast hosts, foreign state assemblies, different groups of people who are leading the charge in different areas. And the response I got back was an email supposedly from this Anna Maria again. And I'm assuming Anna Maria is Anna, but the nature of the content of the email was out of character for Anna. So since I deemed it was out of character, I said, "This is not Anna," and sent out this notice here as to alerting all those 33 people that I think whoever's responding to me saying that they're Anna is not Anna. So I sent, I never got confirmation from Anna. Like you had said before there, Paul, you said, "Well, just send the email to Anna and ask her, did she write this or did she approve of this?" Which I did, but I haven't gotten a response from Anna yet.
I would say that if you do not get a response, you can take the presumption that she is not willing to authenticate that. And until she is authenticated, it's not authenticated.
All right. Well, can we move on to page 22? That's a reference of attachment of Sue's testimony and contribution to the fraud trespass by Kathy Cridler, apology letter to Rocky. So there's a lengthy, I think it's about a 10-page Sue witness testimony. And we had asked for the lawful records four times now from our state, never got any. One of the reasons is that we know that many of the lawful records are missing because they've been erased since they would be incriminating. And one of the issues we're having here is that Kathy had allegedly sent an apology letter to Rocky, and it was included in this Sue's testimony. So, Rocky, can you talk about that at all? And I do have that document here. The document has about 16 links, but none of the links work. So,
well, when Sue did her testimony or whatever she did here, she had an email in there that Kathy sent me an apology letter for, I don't remember exactly what it said, but I made a comment to Denise and other people that I never received that letter, so she never sent it to me. So I'm assuming it was only went to Sue, and I didn't understand why she would say she sent something to me when she did not.
So, Paul, do you have any comments about the coordinator putting out a wet ink signature testimony with a falsified claim of a letter of apology that was never received by the recipient, Rocky?
Well, it can get lost in the email and just ask to have it resent. If it was sent, it was intended to be sent, and he never received it. It's just like being mailed in the mail. Just have it resent. These emails are quite accurate. They don't generally get lost, but I think they do occasionally. Have them resend it if it was to be sent and it doesn't, you know, they get lost in the spam or whatever. Have them resend it, and we'll look for it again.
Could a determination be made about a false witness testimony if it actually was never sent?
But let me add to that. In the because Sue had the actual email in her bill. But if you looked in the twos, it was never sent to me.
That's pretty good prima facie evidence that you weren't included. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. All right. On page 23, we're talking about the rise of PKTF Model County. And I wanted to ask Louise if she would testify, which she has kind of already touched on, that, you know, the states had over a year to assist the counties on their state to help stand up. And we have been told that, you know, of course, they've tried to nullify us. But additionally, our state militia commander, who is part of this, I'll call it club in the state assembly, he testified on the 29th of May, Nevada doesn't want the PKTF in our state. So we've made a blanket statement as a officer or official, but we didn't approve of him to say that. He was speaking for the whole state. Do you have some input on that?
Well, does he have authority to say it? If he does, it's different. If he doesn't, it's complete nullity.
Okay.
You don't have to accuse him of being malicious, but if you believe it appears to be malicious, you can say it appears to be malicious and it needs to be corrected immediately. And if you're going to have communications going through a medium, authentication is not that difficult, because only I have the power to send an email out on my email. Nobody else can do that without the system being, you know, somebody having my username and my password to my email. So that's pretty substantial evidence of, it's coming from the true source. And your whole system should operate that way. That's just one thing you do. It just doesn't, I don't know how they could tweak it any other way. If you're going to get an email from me, it's going to show it comes from me. Now, emails can be tweaked by having an invisible parameter in there, I think. That can be very misleading, and it make it look like somebody. It can look like my email, but it can have information hidden in there that's actually a different email. I think everybody understands that with computers, but you can test that link by clicking on it and resending it back. And I check my email, and I go, nope, never came to me. So it's going somewhere else. Does that help?
Yes, and we know that there is a federation-based email system, and we know that one person has access to all the email for the whole federation and can see any. They can change it. They can send it back. They can erase it. So
I don't think they can erase. I don't think they can erase the trail. That's on individual computers.
Well, they can erase an email if it's only sent to one person. If it's sent to two people, then they wouldn't be able to erase it off both, is my understanding.
Sounds logical, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so on page 24 here, I'm sorry, go ahead, Louise.
Yeah, so like when I hear federation, I think of like five different groups of people. So no one has access to our emails on the Peacekeeping Task Force that I know of, except for myself. Like, I have access to my email, executive director have access to his email, and so on and so forth. It's about four of us. So when you said there is a federation email, well, I say administrator maybe, who can get into all of our emails, I don't think there's such a thing.
Well, the one that goes into the TASA, all those TASA emails are set up by the Federation vetting chair, and she also was seating all the coordinators. So if you still have that TASA-based email, the Federation can see all those emails.
You mean the, okay, so the coordinators' emails?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, they can all be read by the Federation vetting chair. So I wanted to ask Kathy, go ahead.
Is that good or bad?
Well,
they control the emails.
I would say that after 6 years and about 10 states only have about 10 people on them, or maybe even a few less, and some of those states have people living there that they've never heard from their coordinator. So I'm guessing that if you want to just say it's good or bad, I'm just wondering if this person has an incompetency and has not, you know, helped the coordinators answer those emails. I don't know. It just seems like there's too much information flowing through too tight of a chokehold, like a tunnel.
Yeah, it's not good to have information of the grassroots operation being controlled by anybody other than the grassroots organization. It's just not good to do that. You can be washed right off the scene real quickly with a push of a button. It's not good. You want to be able to keep operating, even if the head rots, the grassroots needs to press on.
I like that idea. I wanted to ask Kathy on this page 23 if she agreed with our state militia, Mike Wilson, and that Nevada doesn't want the PKTF in our state because she's actually the assistant executive director. I wanted to ask her if she agreed with that statement because she had also vetted this person to be a PKTF liaison. So she esteemed this particular state militia commander and had offered him a position as a liaison, and he has said this. So that's it for that. If we press on to 25, I guess I wanted to ask Kathy, and I feel like she's working against us because it's kind of like Anna has said, you ride for the brand. You're either sort of for us or against us. And what I see her keep saying is that we're basically the enemies or insurrectionists, because she's not saying the opposite. So her silence is deafening. And I just feel like because she is in a position where she's training liaisons also, that because they should know, because they can know, therefore they should know. And I just believe that because you are in a learned position, that it's your duty to, you know, call these things out. I did also want to ask her if at this point in the presentation, if she still really felt that these people were really nice. And then I did want to also ask her, in her training of people, what she thinks, because in training people, you know, you do want to train them to all the conventions of our assemblies. And how does she look at training as being a integral part of, you know, raising up the assembly? So do you have any comments on that, Paul?
Well, my foundation still stands that it should maintain in the grassroots group. And if the grassroots group is being opposed by anything else, that they have a right to hold their own. It's so important that the grassroots stay rooted. It's just that's the way it always is. Federations are not designed to uproot the foundation. They are not there to uproot the foundation, never. That way the foundations can get a little weak at times, but overall there's many of them, and they're really strong. It's a little bit like a militia. You got thousands of militias, so if one or two go bad, you still got a strong militia.
I like that.
Does that make sense, anybody?
Yeah, I like that analogy. That's a good one. You're really on my page, by the way. So moving on to 14, I just wanted to indicate that there are multiple articles on the AnnaVonWrights.com website that talk about usurpations and the fact that the PKTF has had this history, particularly with Eric Dingus, and sadly, a woman called Susan Houck was famously fired by Anna. She's still here in Nevada. But these people trained others, and they were also brought by individuals that are still on our Federation team. And those individuals, particularly one, there's six articles on the .com website that chastise her for supporting Eric Dingus, yet she continued to support him. So I just wanted to find out if Kathy, I don't know how long she's been on our assembly or been in the assemblies, but if she knows any history about how easy it is to usurp an organization, and find out her thoughts on that. So, and then I did just want to also comment, I hold Louise Campbell Anthony in very high esteem. I think her diligence and fortitude is very commendable. And yesterday she sent out a very compelling argument for resignations based on poor conduct and performance of assembly leadership and others. And Louise, did you want to discuss that at all?
No.
Okay. Okay, so I'm just ending this here with other people's comments as we close. So, I'm asking for resignations or severe course corrections based on poor conduct and performance of assembly leadership and others. And I wanted to ask Kathy, what does she say about it? So that's how I will close. Does anyone have any other comments or questions for Paul?
I'll make a comment on the funds that were placed in somebody's responsibility. If anybody gives funds to the grassroots organization, they have a duty not to pass those funds on to anyone or to any purpose, which is clearly not designated and revealed to the giver of those funds. Somebody that needs to stay really close home until you know they're going, if they're going to go anywhere, they got to really be careful that they go to the right purpose. And if you can't do that, you don't send them out. If anything, you send them back to the person that gave them to you.
Right.
You don't send them out to be misused.
Yes, we had discussed that as an assembly, that we felt that an audit of the funds of the people that had, in my opinion, overpaid for LRO access or state, you know, assembly access. I wanted to do an audit so that we could refund them, you know, a portion of their donations. But then when I sent that letter up to the state, then the next week they started harassing us to give them all the money. And this poor woman, Michelle, she is the state treasurer. They just harassed her to the point where she just handed them everything.
The funds should be given to a organization that it has to be signed off by two or three people before it can be moved out. That's just not good policy to give somebody the authority to move it out.
I agree. We had developed on our assembly a chain of custody letter asking for that, and our state assembly would not agree to it. And they said, well, we have our own. And then we were never shown that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the grassroots group can open an account under an EIN number, and they can manage it.
I love that idea. We are working on that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No Social Security number needed. EIN only.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Does anyone else have any closing comments?
No, we're just we're grateful, Paul, that you,
all right,
you jumped
well,
in. We're grateful that you jumped in, Paul. We just want to say thank you for participating.
Yeah. I'd rather have a small footprint being healthy than a head being unhealthy. So that's my goal. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Take care. Good night. Good night, everybody.